Robbie woke up when it was still dark outside. They'd slept with the windows open, and he could hear the surf on the rocks. It was such a constant sound that he rarely heard it anymore. But this morning he did. He could hear Emily's breathing too. He lay there in his bed for a few moments, listening to her breath and the water, both steady and familiar, as if both of them could go on forever. Emily's face was turned away from him, but her body touched his, her backside snug against his hip, her ankle curled around his so her toes rested against the sole of his foot. Most mornings, he would roll over onto his side and put his arm around her waist, and she would nestle back against him in her sleep, and they would stay there for a little while, long enough so that when he got up, leaving her asleep in their bed, he would still feel the warmth of her pressed against him, and he would go about his morning routine, recalling the scent of her hair. If things stayed as they were, if they progressed as they would, he knew this would be the one thing that would never change, not the rhythm of their sleep or the pattern of their touching. They had slept together this way on their first night together, 54 years ago, and every night since then that they hadn't slept in the same bed was a wasted night as far as he was concerned. Robbie knew his body would remember Emily's even if he allowed himself to live long enough for his mind to forget her. It would be enough to live for these moments of touching. For himself, it would be enough. But he had to think of Emily. Since the day he had met her, over 50 years ago, everything he had done was for Emily. And this was the last thing he needed to do for her, now, while he could still do it. Robbie eased himself away from Emily without disturbing her. He sat up on his side of the bed. He was 80 years old, and aside from a twinge from the old wound in his thigh in the rainy weather, he was in pretty good shape, physically. He still more or less recognized himself in the mirror these days, though his hair was almost entirely gone to grey, and he had the leathery, ageless skin of a man who had spent most of his time outdoors. His body probably had 10, 15 more years in it, preserved by the salt. That was what they said about old sailors. Without thinking too much, he got dressed in the near darkness, as he did almost every morning except for some Sundays. He went downstairs, trailing his hand over the banister railing he'd carved himself out of a single piece of oak. He'd had to take the front door frame out to get the railing in the house. Back in 1986, Adam had been 10. He tested himself on dates like this now, reiterating the facts, so maybe they would stick. Adam married Shelley in 2003. We moved to Clyde Bay in 1977. I met Emily in 1962. I was born in 1936 during the Great Depression. I retired in 19... No, I was 70, or was I... Where are we now? Robbie looked up. He was in the kitchen, where he'd built the cabinets with his own hands. He was filling the pot for coffee. Every morning he did the same thing, while Emily slept upstairs, and soon Adam would come downstairs, yawning, to do his paper round before he went to school. A dog nudged his leg. "Just 1 minute, Bella," he said easily. And he looked down, and it wasn't Bella. This dog had a white patch on his chest. And it wasn't Bella because Bella was pure black. It was Bella's son. It was... Another dog yawned noisily and got up stiffly from the dog bed in the corner of the kitchen. A black dog with grey on his muzzle and a white patch on his chest. Robbie looked from the old dog to the young dog, and the young one nudged his hand and wagged his tail, and he was Rocco. It came back to him in a rush. This was Rocco, and the old one was his father, Tybalt, and Bella was Tybalt's mother and had been dead for 13 years. Robbie's hand shook when he opened the door to let the two dogs out. It was like the fog that came in silently and out of nowhere, and socked you in so solid you couldn't see a single thing, not even your own sails. In a fog like that, you could only navigate from instruments, not from sight. But with this fog, none of the instruments worked. You were in waters you knew like the back of your hand, but you couldn't tell where you were. You could strike a rock that you'd avoided a million times before, that you knew like an old friend. Or you could head in completely the wrong direction and never find your way back.